this generation has told all the previous generations to shut up, to keep silent.
Pastor Will Whedon, Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, speaking at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Instead of the church's classical way of operating, supplementation, we've replaced the heritage of proclamation and song that reaches back to the earliest centuries with only the song of now.
You can listen to Pastor Whedon's presentation, Making the Case for Classical Christian Hymnody, and all of the teachings from the 2014 Making the Case Conference on a new audio DVD for a $300 donation to Issues Etc. before Labor Day. We'll send you this audio DVD. For more information, look for the DVD logo at issuesetc.org. Luther did the same thing. He just went down to the tavern, heard some half-drunk men singing a song, thought that would make a good hymn, went back and took these bar tunes and put them in the church.
My response is, where are they getting this information from? Because it's completely wrong.
We're not going to put a pall on somebody who hasn't been baptized, or someone who had been baptized and rejected it.
That which was begun in my baptism is fed and nourished at the Lord's table, and without that, there's not much there in me to sustain through trouble or trial or handle what life brings.
Former evangelicals on track to be Lutheran pastors by attending Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Love, Issues, etc.
The recent sad surprise of comedian and actor Robin Williams' suicide. Well, what was it? It was shocking because of a career that had preceded it, wherein certainly the man had his struggles, his troubles, as we might say, his angels and his demons. He was, by and large, a man with this entire future ahead of him, at least so we believed. He obviously differed in that opinion and took his action. Well, for whatever reason he took his action in taking his own life, the media coverage of Robin Williams' death has been a curious thing to observe. There have been a lot of Hollywood hagiographies. In other words, someone who dies this way, even tragically this way, is given the closest thing that Hollywood can afford a person to sainthood. There have been some mentions of his religious sensibilities, but how has the media covered both the life and the death of Robin Williams with that religious angle? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. We're coming to you from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Terry Mattingly joins us from GetReligion.org to talk about media coverage of the life and death of Robin Williams after some time has passed here. A little bit later, we're going to be talking about the Scofield Reference Bible and its author. And I think here we can actually say its author. We usually don't talk about an author of a Bible, but in the case of the Scofield Reference Bible, there's an awful lot of the author's ideas and fingerprints in the thing. This has, in many ways, become the Bible of choice, the edition of choice for Christians who are dispensationalists, that is, who believe that God intends Scripture to be read with Israel, national Israel, as its center, rather than Jesus Christ. The author of the Scofield Bible, Cyrus Scofield, was born on August 19th in 1843. We'll find out who he was and what his Bible is all about and what kind of mischief it has wrought with Dr. Kim Riddlebarger a little bit later on Issues Etc. on this Tuesday afternoon. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can send us an in-studio email, talkback at issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Terry Mattingly is a regular guest. He's director of the Washington Journalism Center at the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities. He's author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate, and he is founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Glad to be here.
There's a common thread that you have detected in much of the media coverage, the sad story of Robin Williams' suicide. What is it, and what thread was missing from that coverage?
Well, I think that in the barrage that we saw on Twitter, when it was announced that he had died, and then when it was announced that it was suicide, one of the things that it showed up over and over, and I'm not saying this is wrong, I'm just noting that it was an interesting and common theme, and that was that one of the images that was used was the image of the genie from Aladdin, the movie in which Robin Williams gave what many people consider to be one of the great cartoon vocal performances in the history of the art. And the image that was used over and over was, "Genie, you're free." Because at the end of that movie, of course, the genie is liberated and released from his bottle and allowed to live free. And the implication, once again, seemed to be that Robin Williams had been set free by his death. And that's especially interesting when you consider that that's, he's being set free by his suicide. And I would say that there's just a wide array of moral questions that go along with that. The other thing that I wrote about at Get Religion was the simple fact that this was a man who was very, very upfront with the moral and even religious struggles in his own life. I mean, for someone who didn't have much of a religious image, he talked about God and angels and demons and the Bible and a whole lot of stuff, a whole lot. And he explicitly, because of his extensive work on behalf of the poor and the homeless, he was dealing with the moral content of life a lot. And I was struck by the fact that the major obituaries for him didn't deal with the struggles in his life in religious terms at all, when he himself kind of did so fairly frequently. So once again, what we have here at Get Religion, we have a ghost. We have a religion-shaped hole or ghost in this story. And we saw in some of the religious publications, people took the death of Robin Williams. Well, of course, we had people that used it as a chance to stab Hollywood and to stab the left. But we also had a lot of people who took this as a chance to sound a greater awareness for the church, to try to be more proactive and try to be more vocal on issues not only of suicide, but of mental illness. I mean, no one was saying that Robin Williams was mentally ill. There were some who thought he was perhaps bipolar, and that he clearly, obviously, throughout his life had struggled with alcoholism and drug addiction. But Robin Williams talked about it, and this was the quote that I used in my column, is that Williams talked a lot about the voices in his head. And he talked a lot about the fact that a lot of his comic brilliance was being able to listen to the voices when he was improvising. But then he also, and I'm going to read a quote here from an interview with ABC News years ago, when he talked about alcoholism and drug addiction and the dark side of his life and his addictions, he said, "You're standing on a precipice and you look down and there's a voice, and it's a little quiet voice that goes, jump." He later kind of elaborated and said that what he heard over and over in his life was the same voice that goes, "just one," meaning just one drink or just one shot of Coke. Just one. And the idea of just one for someone who has no tolerance for it, that's just not a possibility. So while there were some people on the cultural right who said, "Well, I think Robin Williams was demon-possessed," I think that's taking it a little bit far. But I do think that Robin Williams himself openly talked about the voices in his head that were calling him to life and the voices in his head that were calling him against life, to surrender life, to give up life. And if he made that a large part of his life and discussion, I was very curious that it didn't show up more in the mainstream press coverage.
So you're saying, in effect, and correct me if I'm wrong, that Williams himself understood his struggles in moral, if not spiritual, terms, and talked about it openly.
Yeah, and the fact that he talked about this voice in his head luring him to evil, that he talked about it as an attractive voice and a quiet voice and even a comforting voice, that's a pretty radical and insightful comment from someone who ends up committing suicide. I would also mention, Todd, that there's one aspect of this that I found particularly personally convicting or poignant, and that was the revelation about a week later from his wife that he had this past year had received a diagnosis of Parkinson's disease. My own father died of Parkinson's disease, and I read up a tremendous amount on the illness when my father received his diagnosis. And in fact, there has even been some suggestions that while many speculated that Robin Williams had fallen off the wagon and was drinking again, there's been some other suggestions that he had not. He had been to a rehab center a couple of months ago, but at the time of his death, he was not relapsing. He was not struggling with alcohol. That it probably was the Parkinson's diagnosis that hit him. If you know anyone who's struggled with Parkinson's or if you're familiar with the disease, in the first year after a Parkinson's diagnosis, everyone who gets that diagnosis struggles with depression. And it's both what's happening to your body, and it's also the adjustment to the drug regime that you're placed on to try to fight the Parkinson's. Depression is a powerful, powerful force in the life of someone who has just received a Parkinson's diagnosis. And for that to hit a man who had struggled with depression throughout his life, that must have been an astonishing blow to him. And I mention that simply because I don't think the church deals very well with Parkinson's disease, quite frankly. I'm not sure that the church addresses debilitating illness very well and what that diagnosis means to a person, and what does Christian hope mean to a person who has received that kind of diagnosis.
Talk, if you would, about the line that any media coverage of a suicide, a prominent suicide, needs to walk, because there's a tendency, and you spoke about it earlier, to kind of gloss over this ugly act and say, now he set himself free. I mean, essentially, that's
right.
The message that's often being sent. Or to say, look, let's not talk about the manner of death. Let's talk about the way the man lived, and then to go on and kind of write the Hollywood hagiographies for Robin Williams. Those are all going to happen. Responsible reporters need to deal with the issue of suicide in some sense, aware of the fact that you don't want to speak ill of the dead. That's in poor taste. But at the same time, a good portion of your audience knows what suicide is personally. And I'm thinking about like children of parents who have committed suicide. They carry around a lot of anger, resentment. They know that it is often an act of selfishness, disguised under self-sacrifice, things like that. Talk about that.
Well, that could be. I mean, at this point, there's really no way to go into that without speculation. Of course, there was quite a bit of a public backlash against the details of his death being released when in California, of course, it was a law, state law, that the details had to be released. Now, the fact that whether or not the press had to cover the details to the same degree, that's a question of journalism ethics. What I'm trying to say is I wish the media had been at least as candid about the nature of Robin Williams' struggles that preceded this act as Williams himself had been.
Hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I mean that instead of going straight into the genie is free, he's been released, this is a man who talked about his struggles in very dark terms at times. And I thought that the media missed an opportunity here to talk about some of the issues in his life, at least with a degree of seriousness that his own commentary warranted. The situation with the Parkinson's, I admit that I'm not neutral here. I admit that I've got a bone to chew. I don't think anybody in both the media and often in our churches, I don't think we're reading enough about what that Parkinson's diagnosis means to the people who receive it and what they face, you know, what they can. I guess the Michael J. Fox story is as close as we've gotten. But, of course, he was young onset, Parkinson's, and that's a somewhat different diagnosis in terms of the potential health for a number of years than someone receiving a Parkinson's diagnosis when they're like 60 or 62 years of age, and the disease has a much more predictable outcome. I'm going to not go ahead and blame Robin Williams for his own death, in the sense that I want to say that it was a deliberate act of selfishness. What I was saying, what I will say, is that he looked at that diagnosis and he saw, I would assume, very little reason for hope. You know, in his situation as a performer who needed, for personal reasons related to previous divorces, who needed to work all of the time and able to pay his bills, to financially to live the way he was used to living, and he actually lived a fairly modest life in terms of the home. He didn't live in a gigantic mansion off somewhere in Hollywood. Whatever happened to him, it's very clear that he lost reason to live and lost reason to hope. And see, both of those subjects I think the church has to deal with, and both of those subjects I wish the media had been a little bit more open in discussing.
When we come back, a few more minutes with Terry Mattingly. We're talking about media coverage of the life and death of Robin Williams. Does he notice a difference between secular media and the religious media's coverage of the event? We'll find out what and what why after this.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start. The foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Whether building a new home, remodeling an existing home, or tackling the weekend project, it is important to have the materials and advice needed to get the job done. RP Lumber offers estimates for professional building materials and services for drywall, decking, siding, shingles, cabinets, and kitchen and bath design to the general contractor and the individual homeowner. Delivery available with over 50 local community locations. For 37 years, RP Lumber.
Solid. Serious. Substantive. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Our school is committed to authentic Lutheranism, the entire Book of Concord, and indeed to authentic Lutheranism as it has continued to be confessed and practiced through the centuries right up into our own time.
Dr. Cameron McKenzie, chairman of the Department of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
We're committed then to biblical, confessional Christianity and Lutheranism and applying it to the world of today in as effective a way as we can.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu, ctsfw.edu, or call 1-800-481-2155, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Tuesday afternoon, August the 19th. We're talking with Terry Mattingly of GetReligion.org about media coverage of the life and death of Robin Williams, especially the religious angle. Terry, do you see a substantive difference between the secular media's coverage, for lack of a better term, of Robin Williams' death and the religious media's coverage? If so, what is it?
Yes. To my surprise, the religious media jumped quicker and with more depth to the issue of what should we be saying about mental illness? What should we be saying about suicide? Yeah, the next level of the story, the religious media got into it quicker and deeper in the early stages, and I think still we can make that claim. The overwhelming celebrity and brilliance of Robin Williams as a comic, I'm not sure a lot of mainstream people really knew what to do with that. I mean, they wanted to give the man his day, even if that meant ignoring a lot of his own work and the substance of his own life. I found that very poignant. I mean, here was a man who throughout his life struggled to get people to take him seriously. And here we are in the obituaries after a tragic event and diagnosis in his life that in one way or another leads to suicide, and I don't think the obituaries took him seriously enough.
There is an oft-quoted saying, one that is explicitly religious, from Robin Williams. You quote it in the course of your piece, and I've heard it quoted many times. And I want to know what your thoughts are on what a reporter does with this, okay? Because it's a bit tongue-in-cheek, but there's something, there's always, with Robin Williams, some deeper, serious truth at work here. And here's the quote. "I don't understand the whole fundamentalist thing. You see, I'm an Episcopal. That's Catholic light. Same religion, half the guilt." We've read this 100 different places. What does a reporter do with that?
Well, I mean, it means he was a religious progressive. But they all, several of them used that line, but then they didn't explore it all. That made me wonder if he had a parish. Did he have a priest? Was there some detail there? In other words, was there more to the role of religion in his life than just a one-liner shooting at fundamentalists? When you watch him riff on a biblical passage or on a story from the Bible for 20 or 30 minutes and wrestle with the issue of why evil exists in the world, which, of course, the theological term for that is theodicy, and you watch him wrestle, this is not a guy who's just making a joke about the Bible. He's talking about this because these issues matter to him. I kept waiting for someone to do, like, say, a sidebar on that side of his life. And, frankly, I haven't seen any additional factual material come out at all. If he was an Episcopalian, was he active as an Episcopalian? There were Jewish publications that wrote more about his background and his friendship and kind of how he was an honorary Jew and from their perspective in terms of his view of the world and of life. And once again, religious publications did more with that than the mainstream. I wasn't expecting every obituary of Robin Williams to be a theological essay. I am saying that they all included the quote about him hearing the voice standing on the ledge, the little voice that says just one, or the voice that says jump. The man was pretty honest. I think you could have dealt with it some in these stories.
Finally then, Terry, a man who made his career, actually really, you know, built a career on his rather unique stand-up comedy. The question of, you know, comedy and that moral sense, if not a religious sense, that moral sense that lies behind all of it. I mean, you cannot make jokes without having some kind of moral anchor. It's the underpinning of this thing we call humor, and the comedian stands on the stage and must assume that his audience has the same sensibilities generally in order for him to make jokes that land. Talk about that with regard to Robin Williams.
Well, I'll go further. I think if there was one thing Robin Williams was known for, even in a lot of his stand-up comedy, what is the symbol social cause for which he's best known? And that would be year after year after year, the comic relief shows with Whoopi Goldberg and with Billy Crystal. Now, these are people of all of liberal persuasions, all of them to one degree or another have some religious perspective. But you can't stand on a stage and make jokes about the need for our society to do more to help the homeless, to help, you know, poor children, to help unwed mothers, to help. You can't do that year after year after year without some form of moral perspective. You're not living in a morally neutral world when one of your primary causes in your life is helping the poor and the homeless and crying out for some form of economic justice. Now, you can do that for the explicitly Christian theological reasoning of a John Paul II or someone else, or you could just do it, I guess, for political reasons, but that's not what those comics were doing. They were engaging in moral outrage about poverty. And that implies a moral point of view and some foundation of what they accepted. In Robin Williams' case, he often pointed to biblical stories, metaphors, and reasons for that. And I think that should have been explored more. There was, in Get Religion terms again, there was a religion-shaped hole in this story about this man's life and his death. They didn't take that side of his life as seriously as he did.
Terry Mattingly is director of the Washington Journalism Center at the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities. He is author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate, and he's founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, thanks for being our guest.
Glad to be here.
When we come back on this Tuesday afternoon, we're going to spend some time with Kim Riddlebarger. We've talked with him many times about the subject of dispensationalism, this teaching that puts Israel, the national state of Israel in the modern time, at the center of biblical prophecy rather than Jesus. Now, people could just make this up if they wanted to, but there is a common source for dispensational theology, and it comes in an odd form. It's the Scofield Reference Bible. If you ever seen one, you notice that it's more than just a Bible with all sorts of cross-references. It draws a lot of conclusions, makes a lot of assumption, and a lot of suggestions about how you ought to read the Bible. It's got its own message in addition to the message of the Bible. Well, the author of the Scofield Reference Bible, Cyrus Scofield, was born on August 19, 1843, and we will find out who he was, how his ideas got found in this very influential edition of the Bible, and what's been the fallout. We'll do all that with Dr. Kim Riddlebarger on the other side of the break. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Pilgrim Lutheran, Santa Monica, California. Emmanuel Lutheran, Terre Haute, Indiana. Trinity Lutheran, San Angelo, Texas. Trinity Lutheran and Emmanuel Lutheran, Holloway, Minnesota. St. John Lutheran, Schaumburg, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Pipestone, Minnesota. Real Lutheran Fellowship, Rochester, Minnesota. Living Word Lutheran Church, The Woodlands, Texas. St. James Lutheran, Logansport, Indiana. St. John's Lutheran, State Center, Iowa, and Trinity Lutheran, West Chicago, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. Journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Check out the updated showroom at Vallo Floor Coverings, 1009 Plummer Drive in Edwardsville. Vallo's offers free in-home measurement, interior design consultation, and experienced installation. Celebrating 50 years of trusted experience, Vallo Floor Coverings, 1009 Plummer Drive in Edwardsville, 618-656-7788 or vallofloor.com.
Education and edification. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit WittenbergAcademy.org.